This Steve Jones Show podcast is now loading. The Steve Jones Show podcast is presented by Sunbury Motor Company, Purdy Insurance, Brewers Outlet, and NIL Game Changers. Bringing you an in-depth look at Penn State sports and more. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. The Steve Jones Show is presented by NIL Game Changers, Sunbury Motor Company, Purdy Insurance, and Brewers Outlet. Now, from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
This half hour brought to you by Purdy Insurance, Market Street in Sunbury. Go to purdyinsurance.com. Auto, home, life, business, boat, motorcycle, RV. They'll make sure you're fully insured, save you money wherever they can, because customer service means everything. That's why they're the best in the business. They actually go way beyond in caring about you and your needs. It's all at Purdy Insurance, Market Street in Sunbury. Go to purdyinsurance.com. And we're in the Sunbury Motors studio, Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury, Sunbury Motors, Kia Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. All right. Bo Smolka joins us. Bo's going to talk about the Ravens, their draft, and how they set up. First of all, Bo, welcome back. Great to have you with us.
Oh, thanks. Good to talk to you.
All right. So, Ravens, in fact, already signed their first-round pick. I mean, they're the first ones to do so. They went corner at that spot out of Clemson. What were your thoughts?
So, it seemed like a very kind of purposeful pick by Eric DaCosta. He had told us before the draft that the wide receiver group and the offensive line group, both of which are positions of need on this team, were considered fairly deep in this draft. The cornerback group, he thought, was fairly good at the top end, but not as deep. And he said the night after they picked Nate Wiggins out of Clemson that if they felt if they didn't get a cornerback in the first round, they probably weren't going to get one that could be an immediate impact guy. So I think they felt a sense of urgency at that point in the draft. If there's a good corner we like, we're gonna hit that position now. And he implied that they had Nate Wiggins picked ranked among their top 20 players, and they got him, you know, deeper than that. So they saw him as a value pick. He's a need pick, and I think they really like the pick. So yeah, that's what struck me the opening night, was that they went after a cornerback. It's a position they always seem to need. And I remember him talking about how the depth wasn't there at cornerback, so it didn't surprise me that they got their guy there.
Well, not only that, I think the way the draft played out with the first 14 picks being offensive players, I think that allowed a guy like Wiggins to fall to the Ravens, and they didn't have to make any moves to do it.
That's exactly right. And I know they wanted to get an offensive lineman, and they did in the next round. But as you said, it was such an offensive-heavy draft, and I'm sure they loved as that draft board was falling the way it did in the first half of the draft. Because let's face it, when you're picking there at number 30, you're waiting all night to make a pick. Yeah. And you don't know what's going to happen before you. And I think they probably loved the fact that there was a run on the offensive players, because I think they did expect that maybe one of these guys that they identified that they could get on defense would be there, and he was.
That's okay. They waited around all night around the 30 spot before, and they got some guy named Lamar Jackson. That was pretty good. Roger Rosengarten. Washington had a lot of players drafted, and they had that offensive line drafted. What did the Ravens like about him in the 62 hole?
Well, I think, first of all, they liked that he's a right tackle. He had started his career at Washington as a left tackle, and they moved him to the right side. Yep. Because Michael Penix was a left-handed quarterback, and they wanted him on Penix's blind side. Yep. So they basically need a starting right tackle. They traded away Morgan Moses after the season. They have a third-year tackle named Daniel Faalele who might be in the mix. But they were looking, if they could get out of this draft with a guy that they could be a presumptive rookie starter at tackle, would be a really good hit for them. And they like Rosengarten, and Eric DaCosta told us after they made that pick that Rosengarten was a guy they identified at when the second round started. He was a guy they were hoping would be there. And again, they were picking late in that round, so a lot of things will happen before you pick. And he also said that they had options. They had offers, a lot of offers, to trade out of that pick and trade back and acquire other picks. And DaCosta generally loves to do that. He's a wheeler and a dealer, and he just likes to stockpile more picks. But I think he also feared that if they backed off that by even a couple spots, Rosengarten wouldn't be there anymore. So he turned down some of those trade offers, and they got a guy from Washington, as you said, who I think will enter training camp as the presumptive starter at right tackle. He'll have to win it, as John Harbaugh always says, because he doesn't really like to hand starting jobs to rookies. But I think Rosengarten's a guy they think that can start at right tackle right away. And as I said, the fact that he played right tackle at Washington, especially with Michael Penix being a lefty, was a big factor in that.
All right. This is a team that likes to keep fresh outside guys on the field. They did a couple things, both involving Penn State. Number one, they picked up the fifth-year option on Adafe Owe, and they drafted Adisa Isaac. Your thoughts on both of those moves with the Penn State players?
So, to be honest, I was surprised they picked up the option on Owe. And Owe is a guy that has a lot of promise, but I'll be honest, he's taken a lot of criticism here over the years because the production hasn't matched the potential. And I say that based on the total number of sacks, which is how people tend to measure edge rushers. He's got 13 in 3 years as a first-round pick. That seems underwhelming. Now, they will say Owe does a lot of stuff that doesn't get registered in the stat sheet, and he makes quarterbacks move off the spot and someone else gets the sack. And so they say all the right things about him, but a fifth-year option's not cheap, and I was honestly surprised they picked it up. But they did, and then they drafted Isaac, who they really like. I'll say this about Isaac, and I don't know him. I've heard since then. I've heard his backstory about his family, and the team, the front office loves the guy. And so the Ravens have this tradition they call the Red Star. And what happens is every scout in the organization gets to put one red star on a potential draft pick. And so that guy is, as Eric Acosta describes it, this red star is the guy that regional scout is essentially saying, character, ability, everything about this guy, I'm willing to risk my reputation that this is a guy we should pick. And I forget the name now of the regional scout, but he said Isaac was the red star guy for that scout. So when there's a red star guy picked by, and they all identify them, but they'll often say, they'll let us know when it's a red star guy. And Isaac was a red star guy for them. So they love his character. They love his ability. It turns out Owe helped draft him or recruit him to Penn State, rather.
Yep.
So I think he's got a chance to commit to play right away because they lost to Jadeveon Clowney. Tyus Bowser was hurt all year, and he's kind of gone away. David Ajabo's been hurt most of his career. There's a chance there for an edge rusher to come right in and have an impact, and they're hoping that that happens with Isaac.
And there's another element, too, about Isaac. And, look, I could talk about him probably at this stage exponentially better than you can because I'm around him every day. But, like, he can drop in and play pass coverage. Jack Ham and I would, on the broadcast, would rave about how he would get into the right spot and play pass coverage on a zone blitz. He's the kind of guy that gives a defensive coordinator options.
Well, that would be great for them because Tyus Bowser could do that too. He was a former basketball player at Houston. He was athletic, and he could definitely drop into coverage. But the last year and a half, he was just not healthy. And last year, he didn't play it down because he was not healthy. So, if he can do that for them, that will be a big plus, and that will get him on the field even more.
Yeah, even more so. Now, going down, they got Tez Walker out of North Carolina who had a mixed year because of the NCAA problems, from his transfer from Kent State. They got Rasheen Ely from Marshall. But then they got Nick Samek from Michigan State, whom I liked a lot, because I saw him play against Penn State every year. Overall, when they got to the third day of the draft, was there something that stuck out to you?
I mean, I think overall they actually like the kid T.J. Tampa, the cornerback there from Iowa State, who they got also in the fourth round, who I didn't think they thought would be there. I think they thought was kind of a steal for them. And they're always looking for defensive backs. They tend to run out of them every year, and most teams tend to run out of them every year. I think, honestly, one of the things that surprised me about this team is DaCosta didn't make any trades, because he usually does. And he had also said he thought this was not a particularly deep draft because of NIL keeping people in school and the COVID year giving guys a fifth year and not as many people coming out early. He didn't see it as a particularly deep draft, but then he held on to all his picks, including two seventh rounders. I was a little surprised they drafted a quarterback in the sixth round, but you know, that's something they might do. Devin Leary out of Kentucky, and I don't know how he'll fit in or if he'll fit in. But overall, I think they felt they got value at almost all of these picks. When you talk to them afterwards, and you know, that's what they like to say. They like to say he was value picky. We had him rated higher than where we got him, and so that's always going to be a plus for them. Samak's a guy who will be basically playing. I mean, he comes here behind Tyler Linderbaum, who's a all-pro center now, and he's a really, really good player. But I think they view him as a developmental guy, and they might kick the tires on him at guard because they've got guard issues. They lost both their starters. So they'll have a look at him there. They like to have those interior linemen be able to play across all three positions. So, he's a big physical guy. That's what they like. Harbaugh loves maulers up front. And so I think they like that pick a lot in the seventh round.
Well, Samak can play guard. I mean, so that is – it's not like at Michigan State they'd have a lot of moving parts. So how do you feel about the makeup of this team right now? Look, they go all the way until Kansas City finally beat them. So they're well positioned to begin with. Do you feel like they're better now after this?
I mean, they're a good team. And if Lamar Jackson stays healthy, they win a lot more than they lose. And it's just, you know, people get on him because he hasn't won in the playoffs, and that's fair because whether it's his play or whether it's the play calling or whatever, they faltered in the playoffs with him, and that's just a fact, and they can't kind of run from that. It's a well-positioned team. I think the most significant thing, honestly, is on the defensive side, they lost Mike McDonald, their coordinator, who's the head coach of Seattle now, and he was considered this kind of boy wonder genius of defensive schematics, and now he's gone, and they've turned the defense to Zach Orr, 32 years old, played for the Ravens, then lost. His career ended short because he got a neck injury. They are really, really high on him as a future coach. Harbaugh has said that for years, but he's never called plays before, so it's his thing now, and they've got new position coaches at every level of the defense because the defensive staff kind of got raided. And so I think that's the biggest thing. The personnel is there. I think the offense absolutely is there. They added Derrick Henry. So you have this offense now that likes to run anyway, and you added Derrick Henry to Lamar Jackson's backfield, that's going to be tough to defend. I think the biggest question is how does this new coaching staff on defense fit all the pieces together? They've got the pieces. They got Justin Madubuike up front. They got Roquan Smith in the middle of the defense. They got Kyle Hamilton at safety. They've got Pro Bowl players at all three levels. But they also have new coaches at all three levels, and they have some things to figure out on defense. But the talent's there to be a top AFC team again. There's no question about it. The question is, can they execute? And, of course, can they stay healthy?
Finally, I do want to ask you about the Derrick Henry acquisition because, you know, he gets into that backfield. Great name. Who knows how much is left in him? We're all going to find out. But what do you think he means on a couple different levels for Lamar Jackson and how this offense, especially in the red zone, can produce?
I mean, yeah, we'll see what he can produce. He almost took offense when someone suggested that. At his opening news conference, someone said something about the wear and tear and all the stuff over 30 years old, all the carries, and he said, hey, just keep watching. He's heard that talk, and I think he's kind of ready to prove it wrong. We'll see if he can. I mean, the fact is he's 30 and he's taken a lot of hits over the last few years. How he affects this offense, I mean, he brings an interesting dimension that he's different than Gus Edwards and he's different from J.K. Dobbins, and he's certainly, you know, with Lamar Jackson back there, things are going to be interesting to try to defend. I think the most interesting thing with those two is Jackson has generally operated out of a shotgun almost exclusively because it's great for him to be able to read defense, decide on the RPO, whether he wants to keep or whether he wants to hand off. And Henry has been more of a traditional back with a quarterback under center, just get the ball and go. And they've got to figure out which works best for them. Henry hasn't done a lot of RPO stuff, and Jackson hasn't been under center much. And so one of them is going to have to adjust. And how that works will be interesting to watch.
Winning allows you to adjust. All right, so you'd be amazed what it means. Bo, absolute pleasure. Great as always. Appreciate it, and appreciate the insight. Have a great one.
All right, thanks. Good talking to you. Take care.
All right, Bo Smolka. Worked at Bucknell, by the way. Period of time. Another person that has a restraining order out in the suit. Should we be concerned at all that, like, 18 of the horses in the Kentucky Derby, like, also have, like, the suits not allowed within 500 yards?
I think it's all concerning as long as, but, you know, as long as he doesn't, as long as he doesn't bother you.
He goes to the track and he screams, "Run faster!" Believe me, they're running as fast as they can away from you.
I figured it was for making faces at the horses in the paddock. And there was one-way mirrors.
Oh, the one-way mirror. The one-way mirror. They can't see it, but they sense he's there. All right. We'll take a break. This half hour brought to you by Purdy Insurance. Market Street in Sunbury. Go to purdyinsurance.com. Here on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
There's something to be said about a sale with a handshake. A service technician who really knows what he's doing. They can explain it in English what the problem is. There's nothing better than having that friend you could trust in the area. That's Sunbury Motors, where you get selection, knowledgeable salespeople, and prices that fit your budget, and more important, that friend you can trust. Welcome to Sunbury Motors, Kia, Ford, and Hyundai. You could chop other dealers and compare prices, but at Sunbury Motors, you get their lowest price promise. They research the current used vehicle market and guarantee their used car prices are the lowest. If you find a lower price, Sunbury Motors will beat it. Three dealers all in one. See their full new and pre-owned inventory at sunburymotors.com. Pick out a vehicle you like and schedule your test drive online. Follow them on Facebook. Sunbury Motors Ford and Hyundai, North 4th Street, Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf.
Spring has sprung, and it's time to dust off those insurance policies. For over 100 years, the Purdy Insurance Agency has been protecting families and businesses of the greater Susquehanna Valley and beyond. With the experience of our trained and knowledgeable staff, you can rest assured that your needs will be evaluated and met by some of the industry's best representatives. No matter what your insurance needs are, call Purdy Insurance today at 570-286-5855 or visit our website at purdyinsurance.com to see what we can do for you.